Let's begin this portion of our service in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we prepare to open your word and to consider what it would have to say to us on this Mother's Day, we are aware that we're a very diverse group of people. Some of us are men and some women, some single and some married, and some have children in the home and some don't. Some of us still have our mothers with us and others seen their mothers pass on. Lord, whatever condition we find ourselves in, I pray that we would learn something from your word today, that we would see its relevance to our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we seek to honor our mothers together on this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1908, a woman named Anna Jarvis held a memorial service for her deceased mother. And this gave her an idea that perhaps the nation should have a day when everybody can celebrate their mothers. She began to organize for this cause and in 1912 created the Mother's Day International Association. It was only 2 years after that that President Woodrow Wilson would sign into law the Mother's Day holiday, which he said would occur on the second Sunday in May every year. And the purpose of this holiday was for each family to honor their mother. And this is going to be the theme of my talk with you today, honoring our mothers. I've chosen as my text Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. You will find that on page 78 if you're using a Pew Bible. And here's what the text says. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So our theme today is honoring our mothers, and as we look at this text, there are immediately a number of questions that are raised by it, and what I would like to do with you this morning is walk through those questions and try to provide us with satisfactory answers. The first question is the most obvious one: what does it mean to honor our mothers? Hey, what does the word honor signify? Well, in order to answer that question, we simply need to look at the terms which underlie our English translations and see what they have to say to us. As we look at the Hebrew word translated honor here in our text, the word literally means to be heavy or to be weighty. I should add, that's not referring to the person, right? That's referring to the position. As we turn to the New Testament scriptures, the word translated honor means, quote, to assign a high value to something. And so biblically then, when we speak of honoring our mothers, here is what we mean. It means recognizing the great worth of the position that our mothers held, and then showing respect to them because they held such an esteemed position. That's what it means to honor our mothers. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Of course, there always are. But what God is telling us here in Exodus chapter 20 is that all things being equal, this is the way it works. If you have a mother, then you must recognize the great worth of the role that she fulfilled in your life and respect her for it. To do so is an expression of love. We are here on a Sunday morning and we have gathered and we have sung praises to God and we have prayed to God. Why do we do this? Is it not because we love God and so we wish to honor Him with our praises? Well, this is what it means to honor our mothers too. We love them and we want to sing their praises, so to speak. And this is what we are called to do. Now, to honor our mothers is not to worship our mothers. We only worship God here. And it's not to pretend that our mothers were perfect, because none of us is perfect. To honor our mothers is simply to praise them and to treat them with the respect that they deserve, because they held a very important position. That leads me to another question then. So the Bible says we're supposed to honor our mothers. Well, how important is it that we really do this? Is this a big deal in God's eyes, or is this one of those little deals in the Bible? Well, I think we can answer that question simply by looking at the context in which this command is given to us. We are in Exodus chapter 20. Now, if you look at the top of the chapter, you might see a heading there. What does the heading of the chapter say? It says, the Ten Commandments. So the command to honor our mothers is a part of the Ten Commandments. Perhaps you're not familiar with how the Ten Commandments came to us. Well, the story begins in Exodus chapter 19. We are told that God calls His prophet Moses to ascend Mount Sinai. And there God is going to meet with Moses. And so Moses obeys the Lord. He leaves all of the Jewish settlers there at the base of the mountain, and Moses climbs to the top of Sinai. We are told that as Moses approaches, the mountain is covered in smoke, and there is thunder, and there is lightning, and all of these great displays. And then we're told that God takes these two tablets of stone, and God Himself carves His instructions into the stone. There were two tablets. One contains mankind's responsibilities to God, and the other contains our responsibilities to our fellow human beings. Perhaps you've read the story before and you have thought to yourself, why all this fanfare? Right? Why the smoke and the thunder and things like this? Well, I would submit to you that the reason God did this was simply to communicate these commands that He's given is a really big deal. And so He makes it a big deal on the mountain. And if you're wondering, why does God etch these commandments into stone when no other portion of our Bible came to us this way? The answer is because these commands were not for one culture in one time. These were for all peoples of all time. That is why they were etched in stone. Let's take a look at these commandments just for a moment or two. Again, the first table starts with our responsibilities to God. And the first commandment says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. So the first commandment is that there is only one true and living God, and so there is only one being that we should worship. Now, is that command a big deal, or does that seem like a small deal? That's a big command. Let's look at the second. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. So Jesus tells us in the Gospels that God is a spirit, and so we must worship God in spirit and in truth. So in Exodus, God says, do not make a physical representation of me. Do not bow before it. Do not worship it. This is a big deal. We go to the next command. Verse 7, He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means, do not use God's holy name as if it were profane. You know, do not treat the transcendent as if it was common. The next command, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So God says, I have created this world to operate on a cyclical pattern. 6 days we work, and the seventh day we do a different kind of a work. The type of a work that involves the contemplation of God and the worship of God. This rounds out the first table of the Ten Commandments, and these, I would say, are big deal commands. Let's look at the second table. Find it interesting that it begins with this one, honor your father and your mother. The first one on the second table. Look at the commands that follow. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And a whole bunch of other things. So, we have a list here. No murder, adultery, theft, lying. But none of those are at the top of the list. What is the first one that God tells us to do? The first thing is honor your mother. So this is a big deal. It's very important that we follow this command. The Ten Commandments are perpetually binding moral agreements that God has given to us. This is what God expects of His people. In fact, maybe I should explain this as well. As we consider these commandments, it is not that God is saying, do these 10 things, and if you do them, you shall receive eternal life. Rather, God is talking to people who are already His children. He's talking to Moses. He's talking to His Israelites that He has redeemed. And God is saying to them, you have been adopted into My family. I am your heavenly Father now. You are My children. And in My household, this is how people behave. If you want to please your heavenly Father, this is what your life should look like. So this is what God has given to us. We must honor our mothers. That means recognizing the great value of the position they held. And we must make this a top priority issue because it is part of these commandments which God enshrined by carving them in stone. That leads us to another question. So we know we must honor our mothers and we know it's important, but why does God tell us to do it? Why does He tell us to do it? Well, the most obvious answer is because He just commanded it and we're supposed to do what God says. That's why we should do it, but there's another reason as well. I want you to notice that this commandment comes with a promise attached to it. The verse says, honor your father and your mother so that, okay, here's the reason God tells us to do it, so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Now that promise is repeated for us again in the book of Ephesians, and it is given to the church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then here's the promise. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So when the time transitions from Israel to church, the wording is slightly changed in that promise from live long in the land to live long on the earth. But the promise is still there. Honor your father and mother so that your days might be prolonged. So why does God give us this command? Because it's for our good. It's for our good that we do it. Now, how are we to understand this promise, particularly now in this new covenant era? Here's how I understand it. When we are children, we don't know about all of the dangers in the world around us. We're too naive for that. And so our parents will establish rules in our lives. And these rules will function something like hedges around us. They're designed to protect us. And when we are children, we don't understand the rules. How could we? We don't even understand the dangers. But our parents have put them in place for our good. And it is our job as children to trust mom and dad and to listen to what they say. And as we're children and we are obeying mom and dad's rules, we are protected from the dangers that they know about, that we don't. And in that way, our days are prolonged. Then we grow up and we move out of mom and dad's house. And we're no longer under all of their rules, but we still have to honor them. And that means we take the wisdom that we learned. Maybe we don't keep following all of those little rules anymore now that we're on our own, but we take the wisdom imparted and we continue on in our adult lives with their wisdom. And their wisdom continues to function as this hedge around us. If we embody their wisdom and practice their wisdom, we will continue to be protected from life's dangers. our lives will continue to be prolonged. This, I believe, is the way that we apply the promise today. We should obey and honor our parents because our lives are preserved and protected and prolonged, all things being equal. This is one of the reasons why God gave us mothers. Motherhood was His idea, and He gave us mothers for our good. Motherhood is not simply a social construct developed by us over years of cultural evolution. No, this comes from the book of Genesis. God put it in place for us. God gave us mothers for the good of our families. We have seen this already from verse 12. Think of what your household would have been like without your mother, assuming that you had a good mother or a good mother figure. What would your household have been like without her? Maybe you did grow up in a home without a mother, and you know the emptiness that that left during those years. God gave us mothers to complete our homes, to give us joy and comfort. God established motherhood for the good of society as well. We have all of the studies that we need to demonstrate this. Children who grow up with a father and a mother in the home are less likely to be promiscuous, less likely to be aggressive, less likely to struggle in school, less likely to be depressed later in life, less likely to be substance abusers in their adult years. God gave us mothers not only for the good of the kids, but as kids make their way into society as adults, it is for the good of society as a whole, for the community that we live in. By the way, these mothers that we are talking about are not just generic caregivers who put clothes on their kids' backs and put food in their kids' mouths. We're talking about real, nurturing, discipling mothers. Thirdly, God established motherhood for the good of the church. The good of the church. Perhaps you were here last Mother's Day when I spoke from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. In that passage, the Apostle Paul thanks God for Timothy. Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus, and he was known for his strong faith and his spiritual leadership. And Paul says, I thank God for you, Timothy, for your faith. And why did God... Then what did Paul say next? He said, I thank God for that faith which was first in your mother, Lois. And then it was in your grandmother, Eunice. So Timothy had become this great spiritual leader in the church because he had a mother and a grandmother who had discipled him and made a Christian out of him. This is why I said last Mother's Day that motherhood is really a great commission calling. A godly mother disciples her children and prepares them for the day when they will grow up and take their place in society, but also take their place in the church. Whether that be full-time vocational ministry or as a faithful Christian volunteer. Humanly speaking, the church would collapse in one generation if we did not have parents, and especially mothers, who discipled their kids. So God gave us our mothers for our good, not just for our good, but for the good of the whole family and for the good of our society and for the good of the church. And He also gave us mothers to point us to the cross of Christ. This is related to what I've already spoken of. Friends, the lifelong sacrificial service of a mother gives us a picture of the gospel of Christ. It is much easier for us to believe the gospel of Christ when we've grown up in homes and we have seen selfless love exhibited already. Do you understand that when you see somebody from the time you're born to the time that you leave your home, when you see somebody in that home who says they love you and they demonstrate that they love you and they give themselves for you every day, When you see that and you live that, then when you turn to the Bible and when you read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." When you read that, it is more believable to you. You can say, "Yes, I can believe that because I have seen love in this world. And I know that it exists, and I know that it sacrifices." So our mothers give us a picture of the gospel when they do their jobs well. We know that God can love us and that God could give Himself sacrificially for us. We know that we can flee to God, confessing sin to Him, and we know that He will not turn us away because that's not what love is like. We know that He will welcome us as our mother has done to us as well. So motherhood gives us a picture of the gospel. It makes it easier for us to believe that God could love us and give Himself for us. All right, so we have seen now what honoring our mothers means. To honor our mothers means that we recognize the worth of the position that they held and we esteem them for it. We respect them. We have seen that this command to honor our mothers is a big deal. God etched it in stone and it is for all time, so it must be a top priority issue for all of us. We have seen now why God commands us to honor our mothers. It's because it is for our good and for everybody's good. Our spiritual good, our societal good, everything. Now, we have one final question that we need to answer. Here's our next question. So how should we honor our mothers? How? Now we move to application. I'm going to begin this final section with a statement from the Westminster Catechism. Now, we are not Presbyterians, and we generally do not use catechisms, but this provides us with an excellent summary statement of what it means to honor our moms. Question 127 of the Catechism asks, "What is the honor that we owe to our parents?" Answer: we owe all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior. We owe prayer and thanksgiving for them. We owe imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, bearing with their infirmities, and covering them in love. What a statement. Let's take that a piece at a time. What does it mean to honor our mothers? Number one, it means giving to them all due reverence in heart and word and behavior. Children, what is your attitude like towards your parents? What do you think about when you think of your parents? What do you say with your mouth when you're in public and in private? What is your attitude like toward your parents? What have you done to show respect to your parents in your day-to-day life with them? We owe our parents reverence in our thoughts, with our words, with our hands. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, do not forsake the teaching of your mother." We listen to our mothers and we respond with the right attitude toward them at all times. Number two, we owe them prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving. When was the last time you prayed for your mother? Well, some of you might say, "Well, my mother has passed away." Well, we can pray prayers of thanksgiving for them still. But what if they are still alive? When was the last time you prayed for your mother? And not just the "Lord bless everybody, bless mom," but I mean a real prayer for her spiritual growth, for her victory over indwelling sin, for her for her growth in grace and godliness, for her peace and contentment. When was the last time you really, truly prayed for your mom? This is required of us if we're going to honor our parents as we ought to. We must pray for them and pray regularly. I believe you will find that if you do this on a regular basis, your attitude towards your mom will also change if it has been strained. You cannot pray for somebody long and remain bitter toward them. Number three, we honor our mothers by imitating their virtues and their graces. Now, no mother is perfect. No mother that I know of has ever claimed to be perfect. And yet, I think that every decent mother will have virtues that we can embody. There are character traits that we can learn from them and incorporate into our own lives. We honor our mothers when we take the very best of their character traits and we make them our character traits. We continue on our mother's legacy when we do this. Number four, due submission to their corrections. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his mother." When we are children, this is an absolute command. So long as their instructions to us are lawful, we honor our parents by listening to what they tell us to do and doing it with the right heart response. And as we are older, we continue to honor our parents when they give us a word of correction. And rather than saying, "Ah, it's just Mom, what does she know?" We take her word of correction and we say, "Mom, I will think about this. You are more advanced in years than me. You know me better than anybody else. I will listen to what you say and I will consider the worthiness of your suggestions." And we respectfully consider the corrections that they might offer us, whether we are adults or kids. We never want to be the cause of our mother's tears. So we listen and we do not despise her. Number five, we honor our mothers by bearing with their infirmities. I've already said that no mother is perfect and that no mother ever claims to be perfect. That means that sometimes our mothers are going to sin against us just as we have sinned against our mothers. But their proper Christian response is to be hard on ourselves and to be easy on everybody else. Honoring our mothers means doing this. We are hard on ourselves. We are easy on them when they fail us. Number six, we honor our mothers by covering them in love. Covering them in love. I think one of the most touching stories in all of our gospel accounts is found there in John chapter 19. Jesus is hanging on the cross and he is preparing to breathe his last. And John 19 tells us in verses 25 through 27 that this dying Christ looks down at the base of the cross and he sees two people. He sees his mother Mary and he sees the apostle John. And he looks at Mary and he says, "Behold your son." And he's pointing her to John. And then he says to John, "Behold your mother." And he's pointing him to Mary. I find it stunning that the last thing Christ is thinking about as he lay dying on a cross is the state of his mother. He knows that he is going to die. His father, Joseph, died years ago. Apparently, Jesus' half-brothers were not going to be reliable for caring for Mom. And so as he hang there dying, he says, "I'm going to make sure my mom is cared for." And he tells John to bring her into his home. And John 19 tells us that from that moment forward, John always looked after Jesus' mother Mary. We must cover our mothers in love. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Do not forsake your mother when she is old." She cared for us when we were children. We must care for her when she needs us. So God calls us, friends, to honor our moms. That means recognizing the value of the role that they played in our lives. That means making it a top priority issue to respect them all of our days. That means recognizing that God gave us a mother for our good. And it means doing all of these things, praying, imitating them, submitting to them, bearing with them, covering them in love. This is what we owe to our mothers this Mother's Day and every other day. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our time together. As I said at the outset, Lord, we come from many different walks of life. Some of us have mothers still and some don't, and some of us have children in the home and some don't. But Lord, we have all had mother figures in our lives, whether they were biological mothers or adoptive mothers or foster mothers or grandmothers or a woman in the church who took us under her wing. Lord, help us to give those women the honor that they are due. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.